This is a really fun day. It's a message from about 8 people, and we're going to have a blast. So those of you who are going to share, would you please come? Actually, we could have the whole team come up. And I think what we're going to do, did that work out, Justin and Kyle? Okay. He's working. We have a slide presentation that we thought we would do while we're speaking so that we conserve time. And now we'll be praying that that slide presentation works wonderfully. Awesome. Okay, wonderful. We'll just say it's a little bit chronological and a little bit not, but I think we're going to do a little bit of a continuous loop, so it'll keep going. Okay, it looks like they want to give us advertisements, so... These are some of the homes that we stayed in. Okay. Basically, when we got there, I'm going to have our team share about the many different things that happened there. And we got there after about a 27 or 26-hour flight, including layovers. And that's why that one picture was in there where it's kind of blue haze and we're just kind of out of it. And it was just a kick. But when we got there, after all of that, they said, great, here's a little bit of a snack, and then we're going over to the 8-year anniversary of the Nisi Church. Nisi in Hebrew means reign in victory. So that was that name. The other church was named Bethel, or Bethel. And so we went over there for that particular... Okay, here we go again. All right. But at any rate, we went over there for that celebration, and by 12:30 they saw that we were all nodding off, and that's 12:30 a.m. And so we went home, and they went until 3:30 a.m. With their celebration. So it's pretty wild. Okay. What I'd like to do is have some of you share. I know the team hasn't seen this presented this way yet. So we have about 1,700 or 1,800 pictures. You won't be getting them all this morning, but Justin and I were here till late last night trying to glean it down. We got it down to 197. We thought that was still too many for you. And so this, I think, is about 80 or 90, and we'll just continue to loop them. All right. So there will be pictures of the churches, of the celebrations, just of many different things. And what I thought we would do is we're going to have Justin share, then Kevin, then Shannon, then Kelly Lee, and then, where is Allie, and then Pete, and then myself. Sorry, it's Pedro. Oh, right, Pedro. I think there's a picture in here. We found a dog with a name tag that said Pedro on it, so it was just incredible. So if you could share, Justin. Do you want to use this mic or do you want to be up there? Maybe the mic, I think, would be good.
Yeah.
Here.
You've got to stuff it on.
Okay, so I'm supposed to be talking about the VBS that we did there. And in total, we did 4 VBSs. One was at a park, one was at a community center, and 2 of them were at a house of a man named David. We first sung songs, and then we read a Bible passage, and then we made a craft. And for 2 of the VBSs, me and Mark dressed up and walked around the community center, and I was playing a pocket trumpet to get the kids' attention out of their houses. That was pretty fun. It did work.
How many kids came? Like 35 or 40?
Yeah. That's the one at the community center. And there's the trumpet. I just loved it when I was up there. The kids were really getting into, you know, the whole VBS spirit, because I could tell that they've never had anything like this before. They've never had someone come dressed up as some characters from a video game and try to teach them stuff. And it was kind of interesting, because when we first got there, they were all, you know, arms crossed, looking at us weird. And by the time we were leaving, they were hugging me out the door. It was really cool just to see that.
Amen.
Who's next?
Next would be Kevin.
Okay, I guess I'm sharing. What I took from the trip was the people there are very happy, even though they're living in pretty much poverty. Everybody's just happy all the time, it seemed like. And I didn't, you know, the crime is almost non-existent. We didn't see much anyhow. But I enjoyed it all. I enjoyed teaching English classes, sharing with the seniors at the cultural center, which it was a good time. And VBS, like Justin said, the kids were all just so happy there. You know, there's so much more motivation there, or happiness, I should say. So,
Kevin, what was the serving the seniors similar to that you have much experience with?
Kind of like prime timers, like we do twice a month here. Yeah. It's
so how many days? We did that, in a row?
3 days. Three. Monday, Wednesday. Two days.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Monday and Wednesday, yeah.
And
we made an apple fritter from here that they never had. Apple crispers.
Okay.
But, you know, they enjoyed that, too, that we were able to share something from America with them, so.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Shannon?
Hi, I'm going to be talking about the Nisi Church that was there, which was one of the two covenant churches that we were a part of while on the trip. I wrote up this entire speech, but I might just speak from the heart, so that's going to go interesting. So the first day we arrived, we went and experienced a church service at Pastor Luis and Pastor Lorena's church. The church was small with plastic chairs and had a stage for a contemporary band. Church service there lasts close to 3 hours. Yeah, a lot of singing and a lot of standing. I chose to attend the Nisi church service to see Lisa Holmland preach about how God is our rock. The congregation sang for an hour and a half before testimonies were given. Testimonies include how someone found Christ and were essential to his church service. After a time for testimonies, Lisa preached for 45 minutes and was followed by more singing. Lisa preached about how Joshua was leading the Israelites across the Jordan River. When the river stopped flowing, the memorial rocks were placed next to a river to remind future generations that God is holy and God is able to do miracles in their midst, to go along with Nisi's church's 8th anniversary. After the church service, the congregation threw a party for the arrival of us. We were like the VIP guests. Ariel and I started to play Uno with the other children, and since we knew little Spanish, Lisa translated for us. That night for dinner, we had grilled chicken and Medi Lunas, which was a baked pastry with sugar on top. It was really good. We sat with the other kids there and tried telling them what the United States was like. Ariel and I met Ezekiel, who spoke enough English so that he would be our translator. There were 6 other kids who taught Ariel and I how to play Mafia. The game is filled with lying, misconduct, and laughs. The game consists of 2 Mafia members who try and kill a town full of people. I know that sounds bad, but it was fun. I was always a townsperson, although people suspected I was a part of the Mafia. The game was filled with laughs while bonding with other people. Although I did not speak the same language, we all shared a bond through Christ and his teachings.
And I have to say, I witnessed this, Ariel and Shannon sitting with the other kids at the Nisi's church, you know, later after they fed us a wonderful dinner, that it was, I didn't want to say, it's time to go now. Let's ask our person to give us a ride home, you know. They were all bonding and melding, and Lisa and I just stood in amazement and almost tears to our eyes because, you know, they have melded, the ice was broken, and they were all, you know, just a group of kids having fun, playing a game, you know, and enjoying, and I didn't want to break it up, so we let the game go on a little bit just so they could, you know, connect more and have fun. But I'd like to talk to you about the housing there. Shannon and I stayed at a house of a lady named Miriam, her son, who is 19, named Kevin, and a husband who we never really met, and a daughter named Floor. We found out that Floor was a girl that had a kind of cancer the year or so before and lost her hair, but now she's healthy, she's doing great, and Miriam, without knowing how to speak with her all the way, she's like, God saved her. Miriam has probably been attending the Nisi church for maybe a year and a half. Her son has attended his whole life, and the husband does not attend. Although I've never met the husband, he was glad to have us in his home. We were the first people that were not family to stay in their home. The husband did things to fix up the house so we could come there, and we believe they gave up their master bedroom, which was, you know, very tiny. It had heat, and it was in the middle of the house, next to the bathroom, next to the kitchen, for us. So we were very grateful and felt very lucky. Our family also, we felt very blessed to be there, although their home was not like our home, and how they do things is different than we did. But we know that we were blessed there, and that our family was giving us everything they could ever give us. And we're very thankful for them. I will continue to pray for my family and all the families that we stayed with, and we're very lucky to have that. And once you get past the different type of living conditions that we all experience in the houses, we knew that there was beauty and love everywhere, and it was wonderful to experience everything. Thank you. Thank you for helping us go.
Okay, I'm just enjoying hearing you. This would be Allie.
I think that one word that really describes our time in terms of what we learned was humility. And it's interesting that it's in the scripture today about humility and what God calls us to in our Christian life. We saw that demonstrated in many different ways within the houses that we stayed. And I don't know if you're aware, but everyone stayed with a family. And it didn't matter what kind of house they lived in. We stayed with families. And some of us had dirt floors, no showers, no shower curtains. Things that we just take for granted. Toilet paper, just simple things that, you know, we struggled with. But I think that the biggest example of humility was the VBS that we did the last 2 days with Daniel in his home and his wife, Lorena, I couldn't remember her name. They actually have a ministry that reaches out to all the children in their community, and they probably lived in the poorest of the poor of the entire time we were there. Their house is just kind of a shack, but he opened up his entire place to the children in the community, and it's a community of people that there's a lot of drug addiction, a lot of abuse, a lot of kids not getting water and food, so they open up their home and do that on a regular basis, and they are actually a family that lived on the streets a few years earlier themselves, but we were just humbled by their willingness to open up their home. And we must have had, I don't know, 30 to 45 children in this little room. And we still did it, and we were able to even do the crafts that we had brought for them, which was a wonderful thing to share with them, because most of them have never done crafts or had crafts or anything like that. So there is a picture up on here somewhere of all of us together out front of his little place. But I think that was probably the thing that impacted me the most.
Okay, thank you. And as she hands it to Pete, I just wanted to tell you that the average wage amongst the people that we were working with was about $500 a year. So it was absolutely incredible. And the fact that Daniel, he had one of these little swimming pools in his front yard, and it was about this high, and the whole neighborhood was in that pool because it was summer down there. And they come, and he just opens his whole life up to them, and he is stone cold broke. And I think that was outrageous for us to witness.
At both the churches, the sense I had was a sense of such community. You know, people don't shake hands in Argentina. Everyone is greeted like this. Every time someone comes in the middle of a church service, someone gets up and greets them. But I had the feeling, I mean, it struck me as this must have been, you know, you read Paul's epistles, his letters to the various churches where he was administering. I had a sense that that's what we were experiencing, the kind of community that was present in those churches 2,000 years ago when the Christian church was really formed. That was the sense I had of community. Everybody, and these are people who, as been said, had much, much less than we had. I do want to bring greetings from, there's a missing member of our team. You've probably seen her picture up there. My granddaughter, Sata, who is back in Arizona with her family. So I asked her what she would say. She said three words: best trip ever. So when she came home the last afternoon after the 6 to 8 with this very poor neighborhood, which Pastor just described, and I said, how'd it go? She said, we're leaving tomorrow. She was pretty upset. So it was very, very striking. Asked me to say what was the most fun. To me, one of the most fun, there's too many things to name, but one of the most fun things was the teaching of English at a school. So we went to a local school, and for 3 days in a row, from 3 o'clock till roughly 5 o'clock, we taught the English class of third through seventh graders. Yeah. Now, the English teacher at this school, his name is Walt, who's actually a math teacher. Why does he teach English in the school? Well, he actually did live in the States for a few months when he was a teenager, so he actually has decent English. But he's not the English teacher for the district. The English teacher for the district refuses to go to that school because the kids are so bad. We experienced great kids. There were some of the older kids were a little standoffish, a little too cool to do what we were doing. But the younger, which is pretty normal, seventh and eighth graders, but the younger kids just loved it. And what was fun was that we had cards, and we would have words in English and Spanish, and they would try to say the English, and I would try to say the Spanish. We were on equal terms. They could make just as much fun of my mispronunciation of Spanish as I could make fun of their mispronunciation of English. We go back and forth and try to improve it. And I think it really was fun for all of us. So it was just a really cool experience. One other highlight, which since you heard us sing the song, now if you can imagine, first of all, the five kids, the five teenagers, of which four are here, are what made the trip. I mean, but now if you can imagine this almost 70-year-old guy leading these five teenagers down a street in Buenos Aires, having already walked 10 miles that day, walking back to our little house in Buenos Aires, where we said, singing, Estoy contento, muy contento. Okay, so that'll give you a little bit of feeling of just how much fun we had as a group. So I think that says enough. We're walking. The group would lead, and we're worried about crossing streets, and we're walking.
These pictures, right? Thank you, Pete. It wasn't windy there at all. These pictures are when the church took us to a lookout point, and it was just superb. It was like anything you would see in the Alps or anywhere. And we went up on one of those snow lifts, which they used during the summer months just for taking us up there. This is in Daniel's home. And can you imagine 35, 40 kids stuffed into a little place? And it just, I remember just beginning to weep with joy at how incredible it was. Oh, and this guy, this is what I was going to
say. That's share. My father, the father at my house, Martin.
That was Pete's. Yeah, and this dog was named Pat after you, Pat.
The missing father.
You were all remembered when you were down there. That dog that you saw in the kitchen, they named him Homeboy. And he was in the kitchen all the time. And I'm sorry, I think this is, Kyle knows why this is doing this. And he's done a great job of continuing to upgrade so that we can get it to work. Yeah. One of the things I wanted to say was Pete's dad, Martin, when the team went out, you saw some of those buildings. Oh, and first, before I say that, our trip started so well because of a certain gentleman here that is sitting amongst you, Captain Gary Kozak, met us as we're going out to the plane. Everybody in the airport thought we were something special because this captain was with us. And he says, I hope you have a great flight. We get onto the plane, and the captain on that flight from Chicago to Miami says, I want to welcome Trinity Evangelical Covenant Church onto this flight. They're going down for a mission trip to Argentina. And we're all just like, Gary? Was incredible. And I thought, well, that's it. And we get onto our 777 Dreamliner to go 9 hours or 9.5 hours nonstop to Buenos Aires from Miami. And I'm back in row 37 with Ali and a couple others of the team. Suddenly a captain comes down and he stops at our row and he says, are you Pastor Mark? He says, I just want you to know that we're going to do everything possible to make your flight wonderful. Thank you for being aboard. And I'm just like, Gary? It's just incredible. So you started us out, right? You brought us the love of Trinity, and even with extra special touches. So thank you so much for that. At any rate, these are some, they're just, they fed us constantly, constantly. We had to start pacing ourselves. And the dogs were ever present. But one of the things I wanted to share was about Pete's home host father named Martin. And while the team went out and did this tour on Sunday morning, I had a 3-hour seminar that I was giving. And I thought, I didn't get to go. I never did get to see this. But the seminar was stellar. There's Pedro. Incidentally, all of those bonnets that you see painted in the plaza on the ground are for the disappeared ones, the 30,000 people that died during the dirty war of Argentina. So it's very well remembered there. But Martin was part of that class. We had 4 pastors in my seminar on Sunday morning, and we had the rest leaders. There were 30 leaders there from the 2 churches. And during the rest of the week, different people would say, are you going to give us more teaching? Could you give us more teaching? We loved getting teaching like that. And then Martin, at the end, I was telling him that, yes, I would like to do that. I asked for a show of hands. They want me to teach them through the internet, you know, through Zoom and Skype calls. So I was thrilled with that. And at the same time, Martin, I think, felt like maybe there wasn't enough response from me. And he hugs me. And incidentally, when Pete was showing you the greeting, they do that man-to-man there, too. So our guys had to get used to that. And but it was wild because he hugs me and he says, don't you know that I love you? I want you back here. And it was so gut-wrenching And I know many of our team were weeping as we said goodbye. I left pictures out that had this Sata and Ariel just weeping with those kids, not wanting to leave. This is forming tight, bonded friendships. This is community. This is the kingdom. Our church is connected with the church in Argentina now, and we told them, this is not coincidence. We are you. You are us. There are covenant churches down there. This is marvelous. I think that's the message we want to bring to you, just the unity, the peace, the joy, the hope and love that we experienced right during Advent, during Christmas time, as you were continuing here. So thank you. God bless you. One of the things I was supposed to do was to ask if anyone